Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Hey, this is Benji Marshall. Stream every single Triple M game of the NRL and AFL live on the Listener app.
Over the 20 goes Benji. Flicks it back inside. Oh, Benji Marshall. He's been in the time machine.
Download it now. L-I-S-T-N-R.
Sunday. A day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh, no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome right across New South Wales and Queensland. Triple M rock in the finals on the Triple M network, the station you are listening to, or via the Listener app where you can get your NRL and your AFL as well. If you haven't got the Listener app yet, get it now. And of course, we do it thanks to our friends at Sea-Doo. No passport, no worries. Plenty to talk about today. And of course, winners over the weekend. Well, we're now down to four teams, aren't we? And those big games, we'll have them for you on Triple M next weekend. So first of all, Manly 42, Roosters 6. Roosters are now out. Panthers 8, Parramatta 6. Parramatta are now out. So next week, it'll be Manly Souths on Friday night. Penrith will play Melbourne on Saturday. Arvo, I believe. So a couple of big games next weekend. As I say, we are down to four teams and plenty to talk about today from NRL 360. Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Oh, thanks, Anthony. A great weekend of footy. Really have enjoyed this weekend, so I'm looking forward to talking about this afternoon.
Yeah, and to you too, Hoops. Wonderful to see the quality of last night's game.
Cracking contest, wasn't it? Real semi-final football. Parramatta, very brave, gallant in defeat. And Penrith, whew, geez, the red light looks like it's flashing a little bit, doesn't it, as they head into a prelim against Melbourne.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose they've got a week to sort of regroup, if you like. And, I mean, Melbourne and South, no guarantee, but you'd have to think certainly Melbourne go into that game as favourites.
Well, the freshen up, as you know, Anthony, is so advantageous at this time.
I never get a freshen up, so.
No. Well, you're our working mule.
Yeah. Speaking of which, where's Gordy Tallis? Well, he's just flying into Brisbane from Mackay. So
they got the Triple M chopper out for Gordy. Mm.
Yeah. What about Gordon? Can you, like, honestly, can you?
Oh, mate, he can.
Actually, can you appreciate the fact, Gordon, you've got to, also got to work Sunday to organise your fights accordingly?
He can't help it if the flight's been changed.
Well, he can. He can help it.
Is that what he said?
He can take an earlier flight because, look, I know Gordon well enough that he would have had a night out last night in Mackay and he would have put himself on the latest plane possible make it here. And now that the flight's been delayed, he's not going to make it here.
He's been earning his money lately, Gordy. He's been very busy on Fox League.
He has been because you know what? Last year was all the New South Wales blokes that did the lifting on Fox League.
Him and Kevy were driving. Remember?
Yeah, well, he had a month where he drove down. Yes, that's true.
What about Kevy having to sit in the car to Queensland and back with him every other week?
Kevy had that wonderful ability, though, to be able to just tune out. So Gordon would talk for 15 minutes and Kevy would just get lost in his own world. He'd turn around and he'd go, what? So Gordon just start again.
What was your story with Gordy up Mount Ousley one night?
Oh, well, this is a true story. We were down at Wollongong calling a Dragons game and he says, are you going to drive me back to Sydney? And I said, yes. He goes, well, I haven't got any beers. So he just waltzes into this private box. These people are going, this is Gordy Tallis, goes to their fridge, takes out a six-pack of that blonde, that pure blonde, puts it in my car. He's drunk the lot by the time we get to the top of Mount Ousley, and we pull into Jason Marlowe's pub there at Waterfall, and he bought four long necks. I'm not drink responsibly, but I'm not making that up.
I had a similar experience with it.
Yeah,
we did the show many years back up in Newcastle. And Matty Johns rang up and said, mate, we'll go up together in the car. So us and the producer, all four of us drove up. And on the way back, Gordon said, we're going to get a beer. So we pulled into Matty knew where there was a bottle shop somehow in Newcastle. and pulled into this bottle shop, got a carton of beer. And I reckon on the drive home, I reckon I had about six or seven. Matty had two. And when we got there was two left in the cart. He's just a machine. He's just a machine.
The funny thing is, he's the same after as he is after 22. Yeah.
But when we got out, he said, come on, let's go to the pub. And I was like, oh. So we go to the pub. go to the pub near my place at the time. And anyway, we finished there. And he says, let's go into town and we'll have a couple in there. And I said, Gordon, mate, I couldn't fit another one in. I just seriously, like, it's just going to start dripping out of my ears if I tried to even swallow it. It was.
But how many did you reckon he had?
Oh, look, he would have had, I reckon he's probably had about 15 or 16 right, beers.
Yeah.
Right. And then we had, I don't know, another half dozen schooners at the pub.
Wow.
And then, like I said, he kicked on himself. Off he went. I couldn't walk.
Mm. Well, as I say, drink responsibly. We're not encouraging all that sort of thing. That's Gordy Tallis. He lives on another planet. Now, let's talk about this game. Penrith defeat Parramatta 8-6. Penrith got more than a fair rub of the green. There was obviously a couple of incidents. One, which involved a Panthers player being treated by the Panthers trainer. Now, before I go to you blokes and ask you about your thoughts on that particular incident, here is Brad Arthur in the press conference last night.
Look, I don't know if we deserve that result, but that's footy. That's the way it goes. A lot of disappointed players in the dressing sheds. Actually, they're shattered because you could see that they really wanted that. Well, there's been a bit of complaining over the last couple of weeks, and they got what they were after from the back of the whinging. Trying to make the game faster. How many stoppages was there tonight? How many? When we were starting to get on top, there was a lot. Bunker gets involved. We're 7-2 penalty count. Bunker gets involved for what reasons? But then we kick down, we make a line break out of the backfield, we get down there. Will Penasini gets tackled off the ball. Mitchell Moses running down there to chase and gets tackled in the background off the ball.
Do you think that Ivan's comments throughout the week in the lead up to this game and the lead up to the Bunnies game had an impact on what happened tonight?
Oh, it might have helped them tonight.
Okay, there's Brad Arthur, who I thought was great in the press conference last night. So there's a lot to take out of that, fellas. I suppose, firstly there, Hoops, let's talk about the stoppages, but that one in particular that I was talking about.
The Mitch Kenny incident at the back, right at the death of the game. Yeah, look, BA's obviously got a bit of a gripe with it and suggesting that the fact that Ivan had raised the week earlier about South Sydney illegally targeting his son Nathan when he's kicking the ball may have led to it. I didn't see it that way. Ivan, in his press conference last night, stipulated that they thought Mitch Kenny had quite a serious injury. I mean, you just got to be able to, it's semi-finals. You got to be able to handle whatever gets thrown at you on the run.
Yeah, look, the NRL need to blow up the bunker. They do. They need to get, like, the bunker should only be there in try scoring situations. To now get involved where the bunker's trying to act as the eyes in the sky and tip to the referee that this has happened and that's happened, shouldn't be allowed in the game, because you're not going to catch every incident and immediately just opens up yourself to allegations of
inconsistency.
Second to this, we need to get back and we need to get back to the place in the game where if you are injured and you're not in any direct area of play, play on. This idea, because the coaches tip to the trainers, mate, when we need it, the trainer's down there on the sideline, he's got communication to the coach in the box. So before he runs out when a player's down, he gets communication from the coach, slow it down, stop play. That's if they need the rest. If they don't need the rest, then they treat the player and say nothing to the referee. And to try and pretend, you know, the argument against this, which is one I hate, is that, well, the referee's not a doctor, he shouldn't have to decide. Okay? It's irrelevant. The fact is, if it's not interfering with play, play on, because coaches are using it as a tactic, as Brad Arthur alleged last night. There was no doubt Penrith were on the back foot. Parramatta were just starting to get a little bit of momentum at them, and they stopped play and allowed Parramatta defence, the Penrith defence, to have a break and get reset and then go on and obviously defend that next period of play. So it's a tactic by the game. This rubbish argument that you actually have to, the referee's not a doctor, so he can't continue to play on, it's just rubbish. For years, you play on.
That's the way the game was. And it was a tough man's game. Jack Gibson said the only excuse you have for laying down on the ground is if you got a broken leg. That was the way they played it back then. Now, obviously, that wouldn't happen these days. But the fact is, it is a tough man's game. We don't want to be taking it out, and we don't want it to be used as tactics, which is what they are. And it gets worse when the bunker gets involved and starts tipping to the referee and needs to pull up play because this or that's happened. It shits fans all the way, and it really does. The best thing the game can do is to get rid of it. We can't get rid of the technology completely because everyone will say, well, you've got it, why don't you use it? Mm. But we've got too much technology in the game at the moment.
We saw an example of it firsthand, to your point, Kenty, in the Tigers Tales from Tiger Town documentary that was on Fox League, where Madge McGuire went apoplectic in the box, telling his assistant, Wayne Snoopy Collins, stop the game, because someone was injured. So,
and he can't do it,
though. It is a tactic that coaches can look to use to their advantage. And, you know, it's professional football, so gamesmanship is heavily involved.
In the old days, unless you were in the play the ball area, the game was just play on. And if you were in the play the ball area, or if you're the tackle player that couldn't get up to play the ball, the referee would walk over, pick up the ball, move it 10 metres in field and play on.
Yeah.
That's the way it's got to be. It's become a tactic. See, once again, coaches have found a way to they get given a favour where they're allowed to have their injured players looked at, and then so they start faking injuries to use it as a tactic, a stalling tactic. It's just not on, and the game gets fooled every time, and the fans are smart enough to know what's going on. Everybody could see what's going on. And this idea that they keep going about player safety. Look, when you take the field in a rugby league game, you accept there's an inherent risk that you're going to get some injury. And the fact is, and they say, if you play rugby league, there is a 100% chance that you will get an injury. That's just the way, over at some point in your career, there hasn't been a player who's ever played the game who's never missed a game with injury. That's a fact. So when it happens, move on. But to allow it to sit there and be a tactic, and we want this attrition in the game. And last night was one of the great games of football. I think probably the best game we've seen this year, because you had two teams who were courageous, who were tough, who went out, and their mental toughness especially was the best we've seen all year. They refused to give in. They didn't cop the excuse that some teams have, or the mentality that some teams have, where it's okay for you to score because we'll score next. They went out and they defended, they played tough and they played hard, and they deserved what they got. And the game, look, I'm not saying if it had been any different, Parramatta would have won the game, but the game deserved better than that. And to be mired in this controversy now over that, it was such a great game of football, and it's what we want. And these two teams really deserve to be applauded for what they did last night. And to sit down now and have, you know, a sour taste in your mouth because of tactics like that. And it's not a knock on Penrith, because every team does it. They just did it last night when it mattered. But the game needs to be adult here and just say, you know what, guys, we tried to help you out by allowing stoppages for injured players, but you've abused the rule we've given you, so we're going to take it out of the game.
Mm. Tell you what, it was an absolutely cracking contest, that game, and the fact that the scoreline was single figures for both sides, yet it was such a brilliant match, reflects the fact that you don't have to have epic, massive scorelines and tri-fests for it to be an entertaining contest. You go back to 2013, one of the best games of the season was 4-2, the Roosters beat Manly, and it was brilliant, gripping, edge-of-your-seat theatre. So congratulations to everyone who was involved in that game last night, because it was epic.
But what it showed too, Hoops, is the toughness that was in both teams. And, you know, to my point earlier, a lot of teams these days, it just seems to be this lack of mental toughness in defence. And I think it's almost like it's a flow through from the old under-20s competition, where it was like a basketball game. You score, we score, you score, we score. And if we happen to get two in a row, then we're in front. And that was a knock of the under-20s at the time. And coaches at the time were complaining that, given the way the football was played back then, that by the time they came through to NRL level, they almost had to be rewired, because the mentality of under-20s football was to just this tri-fest. Now, what's happened is that's what we're seeing in the NRL at the moment. And last night was such a rarity. where two teams went out with an emphasis on defence and they stuck to it. And there was some, you don't, to Hoops's point, you don't need tries to make for a great game. What you need is opportunities. And there were countless opportunities last night and some of the last ditch defence. And even right towards the end there, when the game was gone, and some of Parramatta's defence was just magnificent. Penrith as well, they were just so strong in each area. So that is where I think, you know, I wrote yesterday about how I think there's a lack of coaching talent, not playing talent in the NRL. And I think because we've got so many coaches who are just this cookie cutter, they go and they work as an assistant somewhere and they just basically try and copy that blueprint that the coach that they've been working under had, and it's never quite as good. The copy is never quite as good as the original. It's never quite as good. And what ends up happening is you just get these watered down versions of the good sides, and they all try to play the same. Every team wants to play the same as Melbourne in the NRL. Very few difference in the way they attack, the shape they present, the way they defend, any of that. Wayne Bennett's one of the few coaches that's slightly different. Yeah, Trent Robinson is slightly different. They're the great coaches, but the rest just try and copy what the good, you know, what they see other guys do on Friday night footy. And what we saw last night was two teams that went out and just, you saw how much it meant to them, the way they defended, the way that they just kept turning up for each other. And it was such a magnificent game. It was so good.
All right, guys, we've been joined in the Triple M Brisbane studio by the great Gordy Tallis. Better late than never. Gordy, is that where you are? Are you in Brizzy?
In Brizzy, so caught the first flight out of Mackay and listened to the show on the way into the studio, and I have to agree with Paul with everything. It was one of the greatest games like I've witnessed, and you know, the 5,000-odd people in Mackay, they loved it. Like, they actually loved it. They were like I was commentating, I was standing up. I don't stand up on the sideline. It was riveting. And then, but it just deserved 55,000 that game. Like, yeah, that game played in Sydney, it was a bell ringer. It was brutal. It had everything. And as what Kenty said, it was refreshing to see players just keep on turning up, keep on turning up. And it gave us a bit of faith in rugby league. It was old school rugby league.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game to watch. Online defence was a highlight. What do you think, Hoops?
What did you think, Gordon, of the Mitch Kenny incident at the very end of the game?
Yeah, he got my team's under pressure injury. Mate, I said it in a call. And listening to Paul, that's going to be one of my rants. It's a tactic. You watch the trainers on the sideline and it's not their fault. We laughed at Alan Langer being the 14th man. It's a blight on the game. Mate, they do it. Parramatta got a penalty. Their trainer stops 5 metres. So right between where Penrith are defending and Parramatta, and he stands there and pretends to work on someone. And as soon as your side's under pressure, they get the my team's under pressure disease, lay down. And I don't like it. And, you know, it's... And the way that we do it is if the trainer runs out, that player has to go off, and that's an interchange. If he stops the game, that player has to go off for an interchange.
But that's the way. That's what they told us it was going to be, Gordon, and they just haven't had the fortitude to carry it through.
Yep.
At one point earlier in the year, that was it. If the trainer comes on and stops the game, the player has to go off. A dead set lasted 30 seconds, and then it was out the door. Because they all whinged privately about it, that they didn't like it. But the fact is, look, player safety is a big issue. But primarily, the game is there for the fans, and fans smell a con. They know that. They can see the coaches are sending a trainer on, quick, someone go down with an injury, stop play, give us 30 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever it takes, to just freshen up, get our line set, have a breather, and get ready to defend again. This is where the game has got to resist this compulsion to continually allow the bunker to get involved. It's got to be able to say, righto, the bunker should be... Yeah, the other day we saw the game go back before the tackle, which was never part of the rules,
it
to put Junior
to
Paulo
toss
on report. And there was a question asked of Graham Annesley, well, how far back can you go now? The answer is a pineapple. They've got no answer for it. Their answer is they'll go back as far as they need to go.
So they didn't go back when Mitchell Moses got taken out.
Well, exactly. See, this
and they
is...
go back a couple of plays before to nally the coin toss. I'm thinking, how far are they going to go back?
Exactly,
go
Gordon.
Back and go, mate, you got heads. Mate, should have been tails. I don't know how far they're going back, but...
It shouldn't be allowed, Gordon. It should not.
No.
And I'll tell you what it also does, and this is where it will help the NRL. The flip side is, if the NRL, if the bunker is not allowed to do that, and they can resist this push that some people come up about, well, you've got the technology, use it. If they resist this, and it just gets left to the referee on the field, then what we can all accept is the referees just sometimes miss things. But when the bunker's there supposed to be helping him out, and the two blind men on the sidelines are also supposed to be helping him out, and they miss something then that's when everyone gets annoyed. So if they just put it over to the referee, and you can just say, look, the referee was watching this in play, he missed that, you'll cop that. And overall, the game will be better for it. The game is not better with the constant interruptions of the bunker and the eyes in the sky basically saying, mate, you've got to do this, you've got to give a penalty for that, he's offside, all the rest of it. Like last night, Brad Arthur was spot on about when Mitch Moses was taken out. But now, in the past, you'd say, well, the referee can't see everything as it's all happening. But because the bunker's there, there's no excuse for missing it. That's the argument that the NRL's just got to be able to understand, and hopefully they get to it.
All right. Well, next week, like I say, Parramatta are finished. Penrith go on to play Melbourne. Souths will play Manly. Those two games, again, will be live on the Triple M network. Manly, Souths on Friday night, Penrith and Melbourne on Saturday. We're going to take a break. Come back very shortly. We'll speak to Isaiah O from Penrith and get the Penrith point of view. Where do they go from here? What does the week's preparation look like? Well, we'll ask Isaiah that, and we'll talk more finals footy as Triple M rocks the footy.
Rocks the footy. The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, everybody. We do it thanks to Sea-Doo, and no doubt the Sea-Doo will be getting a flogging come summer. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Where will you be flogging the Sea-Doo?
Oh, mate, I'll probably take it down to Little Kongi for flogging. Or wherever's legal, you know. I mean, I've still got mine. Mine's in mothballs at the moment because of COVID. In the shed there, but I'll be certainly dragging it out.
Are you still not allowed within 200 meters a Little Kongi? Or
well, you know, I'm not. No, but if I put the COVID mask on and the baseball cap, no one knows it's me. All right, until I take the shirt off and put the baby oil on, and they go, righto. Anyway, let's talk more about the footy. Very shortly, we'll be joined by Isaiah Yo.
Thank God.
He's just asked me if I could delay his arrival for 4.5 minutes. But, boys, let's talk about that game itself. Now, obviously, like there is at this time of year every year, there was talk around about Brad Arthur. And certainly, I think we saw enough out of him last night and his team to suggest he goes into 2022 as the coach of Parramatta, and they are going to have another successful season.
As all clubs do, Anthony, they'll perform a review. I wouldn't take it to the bank at the moment that Brad Arthur's there. That's just my view. Mm-hmm. He is signed for next season, but there's no question that the relationship between he and the general manager of football, Mark O'Neill, is critical for the club. They don't always see eye to eye on everything, as plenty of people in rugby league do. They have disagreements and tough conversations. But I think, look, they were brave, Parramatta. They absolutely played for their coach last night. But the question has to be asked is, can BA get them to the next level? Because, again, it's week two of the finals. Yes, they beat Newcastle in the opening week, but they still, they're not making prelims, are they? And they're not going to that next level.
I reckon where their roster's at, I reckon if you look at their roster, I reckon they're part overachieving, you know, with some of the guys that they have. Mm. My question would be if Penrith don't win.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with Gordon. I think Parramatta, I think last night, look, if they'd gone out and they'd been done by 30, I'd say there'd be a bit of a concern there at Parramatta. But the way they played last night, it was a try each, but they just... they were brave, and that they put themselves in a contest, and they showed they're one of the best four or five teams in the NRL, and that's where the roster is. So
they don't have the class. They don't have the class of a side to blow a side away. So every time they play, they're always high energy. They work really hard for every win, Parramatta. They got to come off the back fence. We talk about, mate, when they're at their best, they got to bruise, and you can't do that in the NRL. It's such a tough competition. So then they have a lull, and then they come back. But for Brad Arthur to have a lull and get them back up, and get his team back up, and they beat Melbourne Storm and they were going for a record, which no one could do. Everybody was having a shot at them. They did that, and I believe the best side lost last night So it just proves that he can get them against the two heavyweights, and they probably should have won both games. Well, they did win one, and they should have won the other.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it, though, boys? I mean, in the fair income department, we can sit here all day and polish them up, Parramatta, but they had more than one opportunity to win that game last night, and they didn't.
But so look, both teams left tries, on the field. They both had opportunities to score, and they didn't. But that's what great defence does. That's what that last ditch defence does, and blokes just turning up when they've got no right to be there. It happens at times. There was the odd mistake here and there, but you can't be critical of Parramatta's performance in any way last night.
And I reckon if Reed Marnie plays, So they were down on troops compared to Penrith. And Penrith are the best young side, got a lot of talent in that team. And they should have won the game. Everybody thought Penrith. Like, if you go talk to every punter, you were brave to back Parramatta last night.
Oh, absolutely.
And you were brave to back them to go play Melbourne next week and beat those guys.
Gordy, then let's talk about, turn it to Penrith now. Now, Penrith won a game last night that was an absolute, from start to finish, such a high-energy contest. Now, Penrith have to recover, back up, get ready, and then beat Melbourne to play in the grand final.
That's their thing. The players, they stay off their legs for the first 72 hours. So it's all about recovery, but mentally, they ticked the box last night, Penrith. You know, I think they've been a pretty side, and South took them off plan B and it didn't quite work. And Penrith aren't great, when it's a real title coming from behind. Every time you watch them, because they're young and they're learning to win. And Ivan Cleary said it, and I had to agree, they're learning to win different ways. This footy side's learning to win differently. And it was a scrap. It was a scrap. It was one of the toughest games I've watched. Mm-hmm. It was Origin-like. It was equal to any game I've sat on the sideline and watched live. The hits, the speed, the kick chase, everything was first class. And Penrith, no matter what you say about them, they got the job done.
How much of a concern is it, though, Gordon, how much the physicality of last night's fixture takes out of them leading into Melbourne?
Well, those little sports scientists that run on the field with their shaved legs, do your job. Do your job.
I think it's good for NRL clubs as well.
Sorry? No, but just do your job. And I reckon, like Kenty, you go, but I think it is. Like, I think it's a big box that they tick mentally know that they can get down in a trench and come out.
Mm. I think it's a really good sign for them. And I think as long as they come through and they're not carrying any fatigue, I think it's the best preparation they can have to play Melbourne. I think it puts them in a really good spot because they went out, they played tough, they won. They realised they can be better, so there's still some upside. I thought everything that they did was first class and a nice, tough game, provided they're not still carrying the bruises from it when they come up against Melbourne now. Yeah. I think they're in a really good spot. And I actually think to go up against Melbourne, you would rather come up against Melbourne off the back of a tough game than an easy game, because you're in the right mindset then. So the old Warren Ryan mindset. Warren Ryan used to just love, he hated when you won too easily, because you generally carried that into your next game. So you play a nice tough game like this, and the start is so vital in the modern game because of all these six agains and how hard it is to arrest momentum, that if you concede and you start poorly and let the other team get on a roll, very hard to get yourself back in the game. But Penrith finished off a really tough game last night, and you'd expect they're just going to carry that. Well, you hope they're going to carry that into the Melbourne game now. If they start well against Melbourne, as Parramatta have shown, if you go out and get physical with Melbourne, that's how you get them.
Okay, boys, let's just interrupt you for a second, because we've got Isaiah Yeo from the Panthers on the line for a quick word. Isaiah, welcome to the Sunday Sinbin, mate, and congratulations.
Hey, boys. Thank you, Tar, and thanks for having me.
Hey, talk us through that last, the last time Parra sort of had the ball there where Ray Stone went to pass it to Paulo and Paulo dropped it. I mean, that was the set. I felt like they were, just from watching the game, I felt like that's when Parramatta were going to get you.
There was obviously a fair bit of relief there, but look, I felt like they'd had about three or four sets before then. So I think from about the 6-minute mark, they had the ball the whole time. And I felt like we were defending that pretty well. So I thought defence was obviously the key word for both teams all day, but I'd like to think we would have been able to hold them out for another 30 seconds.
Congratulations on your own performance. Tell me, how are the bodies this morning, mate? It was a pretty brutal encounter.
Yeah, it was. It was was up there then for lunch, and there's a few ice packs getting around on the field of boys. So I think there might be one or two going to get a scan, I think, that come from it. I think Billy Kickout didn't finish the game, so he'll get a scan, and same with Mitch Kenny. So, yeah, look, it was a tough physical game. I think I was talking to Regan Kimmel-Gillard this morning, and I think that it's the same on their end as well. So, look, I just thought the whole game just emphasised what semi-final football is about. And, yeah, look, I thought it was a really good contest, but obviously yeah, a few sore bodies this morning.
So, Isaiah, on the back of those sore bodies this morning, how hard is it going to be to get you blokes back to 100% readiness for next week's game?
We've obviously got Ivan and Hayden Knowles. They do a wonderful job and have done throughout the whole season so far. So obviously it'll be a couple of days rest now, and then obviously yeah, the boys who are travelling well, they'll train on Tuesday. So look, nothing really changes, and it's obviously an exciting time of the year too. So everyone's going to be playing in these games. So, look, I don't think motivation will be a problem with all that sort of stuff. So, obviously, a few sore bodies, but I think that's to be expected there. And we'll obviously take a lot of confidence and belief out of that game as well going into Melbourne on the weekend.
Isaiah, congratulations. It was an absolute cracking contest. You've played in grand finals. You've played in State of Origin series. Where does that game last night rank in terms of the type of contest you've featured in?
Yeah, definitely up there. I just thought it was just a grueling contest. There wasn't a lot of stoppages, it didn't feel like. Felt like there was a lot of end-to-end sets. And but I think it still showed that with all the new rule changes and everything going on, I think defence still stands tall when it needs to. So obviously the game's been sped up and all that sort of stuff to make it more attacking. But I think when a team's willing to turn up for one another and keep working hard, you obviously saw the results of it last night. So yeah, definitely up there, one of the tough ones I've played for sure. Everyone was pretty obviously relieved and tired once the game finished. But yeah, I'm definitely glad we're on the right end of that scoreline last night. It would have been a disappointing one to lose, but very tough.
You just touched on that a little bit earlier there, Isaiah, about the mental toughness that comes from winning a game like that, because I think a lot of blokes like me just think, well, you played in that game, it was a bit of a bash-a-thon, and maybe that softens you up for next week. But Kenty touched on it, and then you just touched on it then. You think that'll add some mental toughness to your preparation?
Yeah, I think so. It gives you a lot of belief, I think. And obviously, ever since the loss against South, we've had to take that option and just say, well, if we're playing an extra game, we'll just be more battle-hardened because of it. So that's how we're looking at it at the minute. We obviously didn't rest players the last round leading into it because we wanted to keep playing football together because I was obviously been a few little injuries and stuff like that before the semi started. So, look, I think that's one thing we definitely are. We're definitely battle-hardened. We're definitely fit. So, look, I think that's ideal for this time of the year and obviously going to need to be coming up against the Melbourne Storm on Saturday.
Can I be a cranky old ex-footballer for a minute? How do we stop players from laying down? And it went against you last night when Fergo went down. It looked like that he needed a neck brace to get up and try to fight. And then, you know, Sorensen lays down. How do we get that out of the game? Because when it's, you know, I wouldn't like that to cost you guys a grand final because someone lays down and he gets a, you know, like a fingertip to the chin.
Yeah, you'd be filthy, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Look, I think it's just the way the game's going at the minute, and obviously the bunkers having their input with that as well, and there's obviously rules around the trainers, and if they're calling time off, that's just what has to happen. So, look, I'm sure there'll be a lot changed or a lot spoken about in the off-season in regards to the bunker and the stoppages and all that sort of stuff, but, I thought it worked for both sides last night. Obviously, the Fergo one with the crush, I don't think got him since straight up, and obviously, like you said, with the Sorrow one, it probably helped us a little bit, but then you look at sort of other cases. I thought the Mitch Kenny one, as much as they were starting to get a roll on, he had to get help from the field from two trainers. So you can see different sides to it. But, yeah, you'd be obviously dirty if you lost a grand final or you're attacking the line at the end. And obviously that gives them a little breather. So, look, I'm sure it'll be spoken about in the off-season, particularly when there's no footy. You've got to talk about something. And I'm sure that'll be front and centre. But, we'll just see how we go.
Isaiah, would you support, though, a move for the NRL to start winding back the bunker and not being involved in telling the referee this, that, he's missed it, he needs to make a decision on that, and also just calling play on when players are down injured?
Yeah, probably would be, to be fair. It's obviously you want to put more onus in the ref's hands, but then at the same time, they've probably done that to try and help the ref out as well, so he's not getting scrutinised too much throughout the week. So, look, I can definitely see both sides of it, so I'll be Switzerland in this conversation and not pick one, but It's yeah, look, I'll definitely see both sides of it. It's obviously it's a tough job, particularly in these big games for refs. So they're obviously happy for the help when they can get it. But yeah, obviously I think the players and the coaches have obviously they're working their way around those as they do with all rules, and trying to benefit them as much as they can. So I think particularly this year with all the head high stuff, and it's obviously I think players are definitely milking it a little bit more, and obviously being rewarded for it. So you don't want them to see that to be the case, but at the moment you can only work within the rules at the minute, and that's certainly within it.
Hey, what's the latest on, or is there any update, Isaiah, on young To'o?
Yeah, so obviously he's had a few ankle injuries throughout the year. It didn't sort of, the sort of week leading up to this game, it sort of didn't settle down as much as they would have liked. So look, it was probably a blessing in disguise we did win. It was obviously a little bit of a risk, but yeah, it's obviously been hindering him a little bit over the last sort of month or so. So it's, look, he'll definitely be back this week.
Right.
But yeah, it just didn't settle down like they wanted it to. So yeah, it was more of a risk, I think, playing him than not. So obviously he's massive for our team. So the more he's out there, definitely the better we go. But he should be fine this week.
All right, mate. Well, we wish you all the best up against the Melbourne Storm, and that'll be at least one sort of Sydney side in, or one New South Wales side into the grand final, mate. But you've been a great ambassador for Penrith, but for also the lovely city of Dubbo and surrounding areas, mate. I know everybody out there is proud of you. So congratulations, and hopefully we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, boys. Happy Sunday.
Good on you, mate. Isaiah Yeo joining us on the Sunday Simbin.
Yeah, just a little bit of breaking news, Anthony, on that absolutely epic game. It is an all-time NRL record for Fox League. So 661,000 people tuned in.
Wow.
To watch the show that Penrith and the Eels put on, as brilliant as it was. And that's for Fox League and for KO, 661,000. So
how many does Nine get, big. I wonder?
That's as big as it gets.
Does Nine get more than you guys? Or
don't
probably
know
double,
what they got.
They? Don't know what they got.
Oh, I think I've got about 48.
Oh, okay. Well, look, we'll take a break on the back of that, and we'll come back. We'll talk about Manly defeating the Roosters 42-6. We've talked about how brave the Roosters have been in 2021, but Manly are the team now looking for a spot in the grand final. They'll play the Rabbitohs in the prelim. Remember, the Rabbitohs have lost their last three prelim games and beaten by Manly in a prelim back in 2013. So certainly that means luck will now favour the Rabbitohs, but we'll talk more about that later on as Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. It's thanks to Sea-Doo. And, of course, when we do the score updates, we do those thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. Their safety's the priority there, and they're open now for safety checks. Tyre Power's footy finals sale. Manly 42, Roosters 6. We say goodbye to the Roosters after this round of footy, after that final. And, of course, it'll be said for many, many years to come about the bravery of that side, with three players had to retire through injury, then a whole stack with season-ending injuries and then a couple of big suspensions. But they still got that far down the track. Manly 42-6. They played a Roosters side that was busted. Congratulations to them anyway. But before we go any further, let's have a listen to what Ryan Girdler had to say yesterday on Triple M about Manly.
Yeah, look, they had some really good performances last night by some individuals, Tone, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the whole Manly path.
Uh-oh.
Look, I just think they're flat-track
don't
bullies.
Don't bump into him that Girdler's growing.
Manly. Oh, Des won't spend anyway, so he doesn't drive me, so I'm not losing a customer. They haven't beaten anyone in that top echelon of teams so far this year. If you look at their last 6 or 7 weeks, their run-in was all against bottom sides, and they built a little bit of momentum, and they got a little bit of confidence. They came up against a side in a semi-final, and the chips were down. They absolutely got torn apart by Melbourne. Now, they came up against a side last night that's been decimated over the last 6 months, and the Roosters, and everyone knew what was going to happen. They're a good side when they haven't got a lot of resistance. But again, I can't believe Manly are one game away with the season they've had from playing in a grand final.
Well, that's a brave statement from a man that owns a chain of restaurants / coffee shops in the northern beaches. But Paul, what did you think about what the point Ryan makes?
I thought he was spot on. Yeah, like I know everyone gets, oh, wow, you shouldn't have said that. But the fact is, the only top five team they've beaten all season was the Roosters last night. So what Manly have done a good job of is winning the games they should have won, but they struggled against the better teams. Now, I thought Gerds' comments were based on logic. That's fact. They haven't beaten Parramatta this year. They haven't beaten
Sorry, they beat Parramatta once this year at the start of the year, but then they haven't beaten Melbourne, haven't beaten Penrith, haven't beaten South. So here they are, a game away from the grand final. They're going to have to beat one of those teams, or two of those teams now, to actually win the competition. I don't think they can do it. I think they've been brave, and I think they played well. But it's all around Tom Trbojevic. And as Melbourne showed, you shut down Tom, you shut down Manly. Manly don't have a plan B as such. Well, they certainly haven't shown a plan B all year. When Tom's not in the side, they struggle. And when Tom's playing well, they're near the best team in the side. But they haven't beaten the best teams. They just haven't done it. Mm-hmm. So everyone can come out there and express all the shock they like at what Gerd said. But it's based on fact.
Yeah. Okay.
Sets up a cracking prelim. Mm. Souths and Manly. So much history, so much rivalry between the two clubs. As you touched on, Anthony, 2013, the Seagulls beat the Bunnies in a prelim, and they made the as Kenty celebrates. Yeah. We're back a winner.
We've just back a winner at Armidale. Yeah. Gordy's on it.
Yeah. He's whipping it up. There's so much history between these two sides. Mm. And Gerds was spot on in what he said. But I think given the gravity of this game coming up next week, Manly will be up. I wouldn't be thinking that it'll be a blowout scoreline, whichever way it goes. It'll be a tight contest.
But, you know, and I think, you know, we all talk about Tom, and he's unbelievable. Like that try he scored when he jammed in one off the ruck, and Angus Crichton, you know, blindsides him and still can't stop him. He's a freak in attack. But on the edges defensively, when they played Melbourne in the first semi, Melbourne pulled them apart like a hot chook, you know. So you think South's attack on that edge, you know, will probably do the same. Like, you know, I think Manly defensively has to really improve against the real good sides. I think attack, you know, with Tom, they've got enough points. Yeah, like they're so classy when it comes to attack. But I think defensively, you know, that's where they've got to improve against the good sides.
And that's the issue, Gordon. See, so you can sit there because the teams that Gerds was alluding to that Manly have beaten haven't been talented enough to pull apart Manly's right side defence. But South Sydney, Penrith and Melbourne, they're masters at it. So, yeah, Morgan Harper, look, he's had a good year, but I tell you what, it's about to get real for him now. And unless Manly can figure out a way to protect him, I'll tell you one thing, Gordon. Tell me what you think of this. I've asked a couple of people this. They all look at me like I'm stupid, right? Which I'll concede could be right. Okay.
Did you say good morning to him?
Yeah, exactly. But let me ask you this. So given the deadliness of South's left edge attack, of Melbourne's left edge attack, right? Okay. Why wouldn't you just slip an extra player over on that side? So rather than have a 5-5 split, you have a 6-4 split, okay? So you've got an extra man on that edge to just help you there. Now, everybody says, oh, well, the minute they do that, they'll just go the other side. Well, that's fine. You just adjust. That's what defense does. You just slide your A defender on the right side, just slips over and becomes A defender on the side, and you all slip out one. Now, I know that's not going to leave you in perfect position.
Yeah.
But the fact is, when some teams are so dominant down one side, why do you still continue to defend the same way when you can't defend yourself?
It comes down to a great fullback. So the great fullbacks are the best defensive fullbacks. So what he would do is he would stand at A and he pushes his front rower over one more. And then once the ball goes past, then he flies across to defend the kick.
Yep.
And then if it goes the other way, obviously he can't get to A, but he goes to help. And that's when they race across. Billy Slater was a master at it. And that's when you'd see him going over there and trying to get him before he, you know, knocks over the corner post on the other side. So the other side, he tries to wrap around and become the winger. And then, you know, on the long side where you want an extra play, well, he comes and stands as A and pushes him out one. Paul, that's a great suggestion. And it comes down to the fullback and whether he's good enough to do it. And do it for
Tommy's good enough to do that, isn't he, Gordy?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Mm. Yes.
Well, no, he hasn't been, though. He hasn't been because Manly still get. But Manly still getting pulled aside on that edge. That's what I'm saying. So even with the fullback there, they're not able to defend.
Well, is he being told to do it, or is
of course he? Of course he is. But what I'm saying is that the good defensive, good attacking sides down that left side, which is the defensive right side, they're already factoring in that Tommy's going to turn up somewhere. So they've got a job there to pull Tommy out of position somewhere. Mm. So they're already adjusting to the fact that there's a good fullback there. What I don't know what they do is they're so easily able to strip sides of a defender by just getting a guy to drag in or whatever. Mm. Stick another guy there. Just put another guy. I know it goes against all orthodox coaching, all the rest of it. But I see all these big brains who sit there and they do it and no one wants to do it because no one else will do it.
Yeah.
But you watch, the minute a team starts to do it, they'll all start doing it.
Yeah, just put Tommy on Cody Walker, mate. Wherever Cody Walker is, Tommy, you just stand in the line against him. And then the kick, you know what I mean? And then obviously it's a better, like, it's a different defense with their kicking game. You're like, when they kick, well, that's when the wingers and the centers, you know, have to be better and other guys have to drop back from the other side to help defend the kicks. But, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Hmm.
It's so hard to do.
Gordon,
but do you know what?
It's so hard to teach people to break out because coaches don't want to appear foolish.
No, so because if it doesn't work, it comes down to them.
If it doesn't work and everybody goes, oh, well, that was embarrassing. What about that? But I just, for the life of me, I cannot understand why coaches continue to come up against South's left edge, Melbourne's left edge, and they continue to try and defend the same way, unable to stop them, and yet they keep going. What Melbourne did to Manly down that side of the field the other night, there's no way Manly can even dream of actually trying to beat Melbourne again if that's the case. If they play again and they try to go out the same way and just get the message, mate, we've just got to be better, it won't work because Souths are too good down that side. Manly have got to come up with a way to shut down South's left edge. If they can't and they try and defend the same way that they defended against Melbourne and just do a better job, it won't work. It just won't work. They've got to come up with something. But again, like I said, coaches are reluctant to do anything that they don't see another coach already doing.
Mm. I think we've got to put Paul's name up to Lee Hadjipantelis as the new coach at West Tigers. Paul?
Yeah, me and Gordy will do it together.
Yeah, righto. We'll take a break and we'll come back and wrap up the hour here. We've got a special edition of Maroons Trivia this week where one of our loyal listeners has asked, can he take on Paul Kent? So we're just trying to get through the legalities of making that happen. We've got that with the people at Brighton's now having a look at it, seeing if we're breaking any rules. Yes, Poops?
This sounds like an inside job.
No, it's not. What's an inside job?
Anthony? Something you've cooked up with Bankstown RSL?
I'm asking for somebody to rewrite the questions because this guy, his name's Anthony Schifano. Mm. He's one of these guys. He's like a Rain Man type character. You can say to him, 2642, and he'll go, postcode at Rudy Hill, 4137, postcode at Tennant Hill, you know.
And you can ask him how many months has 28 days in it?
Yeah, that's chicken feet for him.
All 12.
How many is it, Maroon?
They all have, knucklehead. So what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll cross over to our legal team. If not, we'll
yes, Hoops.
Maroon Confidential back this week too.
Yeah, so I believe.
Social media lit up.
Can you give us a little taste?
No, not till later on.
All right.
Yeah, we've still got our spies busily out and about working on things.
Well, that's with the legal team too.
Yes. Always gets vetted by Brydens.
Let's take a break and we'll come back as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M Rocks the Footy. The Sunday Sin Bin for Sea-Doo. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.